This is Casey Currents. I'm Suzanne Hogan.
And I'm Susan Wilson.
If you spend any amount of time going to concerts or music shows in Kansas City, you've probably seen a tall, thin man with a shock of gray hair, usually standing by himself, often near the back of the club. He might say hi to passing friends, but this guy's a lot more tuned in to the music than your typical concert goer. And he should be. He's working. For the past 16 years, Tim Finn has been the pop music editor for the Kansas City Star. This week, he's the subject of our latest installment in our occasional odd job series.
When Tim Finn went to college at MU in the 80s, he was, he admits, kind of a music snob. He was a devotee of 80s punk rock and early alternative rock like The Replacements and R.E.M. But as he started writing about music, he wound up getting assigned to cover bands he'd never listened to on his own. He told Alex Smith that eventually an assignment to cover a heavy metal band opened his eyes and changed the way he thought about music.
Probably the show, the most, one of the more pivotal shows I ever saw, Metallica came to Sandstone, and this was back in the late 90s, probably 97 maybe 98. I'd heard them, you know, but I didn't devour them. I didn't listen to them. I knew some of their music, and I had friends who listened to them casually. So my impression of them was pretty naive and uninformed. They offered me an interview with, you know, James Hetfield, the guitar player, and I took it. Frankly, I was a little nervous about it as I prepared for it because I had no sound perception of him or who he was. And the music is aggressive and angry, and so I don't know what I was expecting. But did the interview, and he turned out to be one of the nicest guys I've ever interviewed, just a real down-to-earth, funny, witty, friendly guy. So that sort of changed things a little bit. And then I went to the show, and like I said, I've come around to like them now, A. And B, what I appreciated was, A, how they treated their fans, how they acted on stage, how humble they seemed, and how much they showed their appreciation for their fans, and likewise the way the fans acted. Because I remember turning around and there were 18,000 people there. Nobody was leaving their seats to go get beer. You know, there was just a lot of respect and the ferocity of the response. And I remember thinking, I don't think I've ever gone to a show to see a band I've really loved and witnessed this kind of response. And it was just pretty transforming. And it showed me they love their music just as much as I love mine. Nobody's, you know, there's no right or wrong answers. You can argue some intellectual points about what's artistically better or more influential. But I think when it comes to live music, you show up, you have a great time. And no matter who it is, if that's what happens, then mission accomplished, you know?
Uh-huh. That sounds like a big difference from a lot of the punk bands like in the 80s who wouldn't necessarily like show a lot of respect for their audience.
Right. Because probably, you know, I saw The Replacements once and it was just, it was a mess. It was kind of beyond disappointing, you know, you felt disrespected. And I'd seen R.E.M. a couple times, and like I said, the difference between what I saw at that Metallica show and what I'd seen before, it woke me up. And I sort of killed my snooty hipster, I can't believe you like that stuff, or, you know, that stuff's beneath me. I just became a little more, I'm more about, you know, just have something you're passionate about, some kind of music, and, you know, it starts there.
So what are the styles or maybe genres that you have kind of struggled the most to learn to appreciate?
Hardcore rap, and it's not because I don't appreciate it. There's a lot of skills. I started out listening to songwriters, and lyrics became important. So I think, you know, you want to feel like you're being spoken to or someone's connecting with you and your life and your history or your lifestyle. I grew up in a really small town. I don't connect lyrically with a lot of hardcore rap. I can appreciate it. I've been to several shows. I sort of watch and appreciate all the energy. And I mean, lyrically, that stuff is, some of it's amazing, but I don't feel it, you know, viscerally. So that's one. Really, you know, the hair metal is cartoonish. It's amusing, but I never really connected with that. I guess, you know, I can appreciate just about anything. There's also this genre of bands who, how do I put this? It's they're pretty vanilla and they're trying to be very R&B, Motown, soulful, and they're not. And I have a problem with that. It's pretty milquetoast stuff. There's usually a handsome guy singing, pretending he's Luther Vandross or Marvin Gaye or something, and it doesn't work for me, you know. Few guys can pull that off. You know, and I can name bands like Matchbox 20 and Maroon 5 and Train, or those are the ones where, nope, it's just not happening.
When you were first starting to write for The Star, what was the pop music writing like?
Well, it focused widely on, as I remember, national events, and we still do. But it seemed to be almost exclusively that because, you know, I mean, I would interview a lot of people coming to Kemper Arena or Sandstone, a lot of the big bands. Back then, I mean, you could have access. If David Bowie did an interview with the New York Times, maybe you could read it, but maybe he talked to Rolling Stone. But there wasn't, obviously now you can find information on people like him anywhere, all over the place, and a lot of it's redundant. So I think back then the imperative was more like, let's cover our local scene, the national events in our local scene, the big concerts, the people coming. If we can snag an interview with, you know, anybody, somebody in Aerosmith or somebody in Springsteen's band or whoever, there was a lot more of that. And that's probably the thing that has changed the most over the last 5, maybe even 10 years, is shifting our focus to the local scenes and the local bands.
Now, there are, you know, obviously lots of kinds of musical writing. There are people who, you know, want to try to promote bands or scenes, and then there's others who kind of work as critics. How do you see your role at The Star?
Well, that's changed a lot. You know, I think what I like doing most now, and this goes back to what I said before about the local scene, because it's so vibrant right now, and I like writing about the people in it, the musicians, the songwriters, the guys in the bands, because almost everyone it's a sacrifice of time and money and sometimes relationships. It's a lot of work. Everybody's usually working other jobs. It's a mission of love. It's, you know, most of them tell me I've stopped doing it, but I can't quit, you know, when I'm not doing it, just because it's become too inconvenient, or, you know, people get married, have kids, or, you know, things happen, bands break up. But it seems like everybody comes back because it's so innate to them. And it's all about, you know, loving what they're doing. And there are so many really talented musicians in this town. And I've just, over the last few years, just started to write about them. And that's what I like doing the most. Informing readers about, you know, a show they could go to, maybe spend $7. It's at a small club. And you're going to enjoy this as much as any arena show if you put your mind to it. So there's that element to it. On the other side of that is, you know, we used to do a lot of like album reviews and CD reviews to try to get people to make them aware of stuff that's coming out. But the way music is released now, that whole concept has just been kind of shot because, you know, people ask me, well, what do you think of this record? Are you going to write about it? And I say, well, you can go listen to it. You can decide on your own. I mean, I can tell you what I think about it, but right now I don't think there's a better way to figure out whether you like a CD or a band, then it's right there for you, you know? It's like, why tell me to describe that plate of food? Why don't you just eat it and see if you like it?
So you've been going to shows, you know, very regularly for decades now. I wonder if you have, like, a best show or, you know, maybe a couple best shows that you've ever seen.
I do. Radiohead is at the top of the list, and I've seen them 3 times now. I saw them in St. Louis in 2003. It was the first time I'd seen them. I was set up to be kind of blown away, and I was. The show was really hyped to me, like, this is going to be like something you've never seen. I was a little skeptical I was going to like it that much, but I did. I liked it more than that. They came here in April, I think, or March. I guess it was March, but I'd seen them in St. Louis 2 nights before, and that show was as good as that other St. Louis show I saw. The one here was good, but a very different show. So Radiohead is one. Prince played at Kemper Arena, I think, in 1998, and I was in like the 5th row, and he is just one of the greatest live performers I've ever seen. There was a show I saw, David Byrne came to Memorial Hall, I think, and it was 2001. Not very many people showed up. The place holds like 3,300. There might have been 800 people there. They just let everybody on the floor, and he just lit the fuse and let it go. And I just remember, kind of because of those circumstances and what the set list he put out, that it was one of those shows where I buzzed about it for a couple of days. And it was not this big, epic, you know, sold-out arena show. It was kind of just a show that either got lost or just, you know, I was surprised at how small the crowd was, but it ended up that it didn't matter because he really took charge of the place, and it was a blast.
Well, do you have, like, a worst show that you have seen?
Oh, well, yeah, and it was because of actually, yes, no doubt. It was the show that, it was Matchbox 20 and Train together. So, but it was the Sunday after September 11th. They didn't cancel the show. they weren't playing baseball or football then, but this show went on for some reason. And it was awful. And people were acting like nothing was wrong. Or, you know, and their excuse was, hey, we need to kind of forget about things. And I went out there thinking that it wasn't going to happen or, you know, nobody would show up. But there were probably 12,000 people there. And it was like nothing had ever happened. And yeah, it was awful. I hated being there. I don't like those bands anyway, but that was definitely the first, you know, on the top of the list.
Mm-hmm. How often these days do you see shows?
It can be it's usually no more than 4 a week. That's a lot. 2 to 3 is average. You know, it depends on the schedule. You know, the live scene has its seasons. You know, summer's busier. The outdoor venues are working. So there was a stretch recently, I think I did like 4 and 6 nights, and it's kind of grueling, but I'm out there watching people like music. It's not hard, but there's a, you know, it takes time, and they're late hours and early mornings, so 4 is plenty in a week.
Mm-hmm. And you wear earplugs?
I don't, but my hearing's fine. I make sure I'm as far enough away as I can be. You know, a lot of times, I always put a set list in the review, which requires that I hear some lyrics if I don't know a song. And with earplugs, I can't. And I can't pick up, you know, some of the, I like to hear the music, and the earplugs distract me, and I can't hear what I want to hear. So there are some, there was a show, I've stood outside the room sometimes because, like at the Midland or the Uptown, because it's so crushingly loud, even in the back of the room. But that I have to be outside the room. One was a Chemical Brothers show at the Uptown, and then Motorhead played at the Midland. And there were local musicians, guys in bands who play in loud rock bands who were like running out of the room at that one because it was just punishing.
So how has live music in Kansas City changed since you started covering it?
Well, there are more venues on both ends. There's more theaters doing big shows. You know, we have the Sprint Center, we have the Midland and the Uptown. The Voodoo Lounge out of Harris Casino is a big room. The Crossroads KC behind Grinders that holds like they can put 3,000 people in that place. So there are more rooms and venues doing shows. By far, there's a lot more. And then at the smaller level, there are more clubs doing shows. So any night, there is usually, I can look at the calendar and think, yeah, I would go to this tonight. And it's rare that there's not something going on. There are a lot more local bands now and a lot more good local bands.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you seen trends in local music or concerts in the past few years that you really don't like?
Starting late. And I don't know if that's a trend or if it's always been that way. And I wrote about this a few months ago, how it would be nice if, you know, a lot of the smaller clubs will put the opener on at 10 or 10:30, and sometimes they have 3 bands, which means the headliner doesn't go on until after midnight. And there's a reason for it. And one of the reasons is that people think, well, nobody goes out before 9, or, you know, people don't start going out till 10 o'clock. You don't want the headliner coming on. The two people will miss the first 2 bands. There's probably something to that. However, you know, when Radiohead comes to town or Wilco comes to town, the show starts at 7:30 or 8, and people show up and fill the place. So people are accustomed to going to a show like it's a movie or whatever at 7:30, maybe skip the opener and watch the headliner at 8:45 or 9 o'clock and going home at 11:30. I wish there were more of that. I think it hurts attendance. The club owners want people in there, you know, buying food and drinks, and they don't want people emptying the place at 11:30. That's a dynamic, and I don't know if there's an answer, but I think off the bat, I would say I wish more shows started at a reasonable hour.
So what's the hardest part of your job?
I don't think any of it's hard. I think the part that I wish I could cover more, there's so much to write about and getting to it because there's so much more to do. The whole, you know, there's so much more to take care of, whether it's the blog or the social media, and there's just a lot more little work to do, and that takes away from doing bigger stories. I would like to do more big stories, more profiles, and then covering the shows, the live shows, because there used to be 2 people doing this. There hasn't been for a while, but it could definitely be a 2-person job. That would be great. The freelancers probably add up to half a person, you know, maybe. So that helps. But yeah, I don't think any of it's hard because I like doing it, and I like meeting the people in the local scene, and I like writing about it. I like writing about the local scene more than just promoting another big name band that's coming to the Sprint Center that doesn't really necessarily need the promotion. You just need to let people know they're going to be there.
You know? Well, so what's the best part of your job?
Being at a show where people are going crazy. Whether even, I mean, it helps if I like the band. And I would say that Radiohead show in St. Louis, which I went to on my own, didn't write about it, and we were really close to the stage and just getting swept up and the enthusiasm and, you know, the transcendence of the show. And it's, you know, it can be spiritual. Definitely, it can be at the right moment, at the right time, the right band. That's the best part.
Tim Finn, thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Tim Finn is pop music editor for the Kansas City Star. If you can't listen to all of Casey Kearns today, catch what you missed online in our audio archives. And we've got a podcast. Find us on iTunes.
Coming up, a local play highlights sex education. This is Casey Kearns.